And I love our church, different sites all around the city. I love Highgrove Church, where it all started. Whenever I go to speak there, it feels like home. I do love Community Church, where I lead on a Sunday morning, because it's a church that's trying to say, how can a middle-class church kind of that we planted into an urban poor area, how can be a church that crosses all those kind of backgrounds? I love it over at Hartcliffe at All Saints Church, because two young women, one who was born at Hartcliffe, one who moved there from North Bristol, started reaching out with a football team to naughty young lads, and they planted a church. I love going over there. I love Woodland Central that is there to resource us with things like the burger giveaway and the Alpha course that's running. I love Branch Church that started 2 years ago, the same time as Metro, because there was a community there, used to have an Anglican Methodist church, both closed down, no church in that community. Planted a church there so people could walk to church. I love the fact that we're a church right the way across this region that's trying to serve God and serve people. And I love coming here and just the warmth of welcome to see there's people here who want to find out about Jesus. You might be a guest here this evening and you want to find out a bit more about Jesus, and Metro's a place where you can do that, where you can connect and meet people like in those hubs where there's something that, about what it is to follow Jesus, and whether it's hashtag no filters or some of the other creative things that I know you've been teaching about here. It's just a way to help you to follow Jesus more wholeheartedly and serving him. I know there's a group came a couple of years ago to help out up at Southmead where I was. I think you came to do a garden with a single parent family. There were any of you part of that team that cleared? It was a really rancid garden that came. And it's fantastic to be here to share with you and to say, actually, there's something about God's call on us, God's call on your life that is to transform the city, whichever part of the city you live in. And that's what we're going to think about a bit more tonight. Because last week, Dave Mitchell, my friend, was colleague, was here, and he was talking about calling. And I went on to the Woody's Metro.church website, and you can see all the talks there. I listened to Dave. And who was here last week? Dave was good, wasn't he? I mean, there was something about inspirational, about what it is to be called in our life, called by God. And I know when I get inspired at talks, I can go away and I can feel inspired. But I get home and my wife says, yeah, it's great to be inspired, Tim, but how do you do it? I mean, how do you actually, what does it actually mean day by day? And so I thought we'd do a part two of calling this evening and to look at some of those things about, well, okay, it's great to be inspired with a call from God, a calling from God, but actually what does it look like to live that calling out? And I thought I'd just ask by asking a question. How many of you know what God has called you to? How many of you know the calling on your life? Give us a little wave. Actually, I mean, I think it's interesting because we hear, we read the Bible and we see stories of people who feel, who get dramatically called by God. And I'm not sure about you. Sometimes I find that really inspiring. Do you know what? Sometimes I look at my own life and I think, because if I'm wholeheartedly honest with you, actually, I don't feel that I've ever been called by God to do what I do. I mean, some of you kind of maybe called by God to be a doctor or a teacher or a nurse or a kind of an undertaker. I'm not sure what you feel called by God. But actually, for quite a few of us, we kind of think, I'm not quite sure if I'm called and what I'm called to. I am a church leader, and up at Community Church, we took a little team out to Swaziland two summers ago, and we were doing all kinds of work with aid orphans out there, and you would just be chatting to the kids, and when they found out that I was a pastor, suddenly it was, you're a pastor. And suddenly kind of celebrity status kind of rockets sky high, and suddenly they treat you like, oh, pastor. And one of the men in the village said to me, Tim, what was it like when God called you to be a pastor? As if there was a sudden, you know, that voice from heaven, Tim, I want you to be a pastor. And I said to him, actually, do you know what? I don't think I ever felt called to be a pastor. I don't think there was ever that moment where there was a voice from heaven. I don't think there was ever a moment, our friend Rob Scott Cook, where he sat on a bench looking over a community and he felt God calling him to leave his job with ICI and plant a church. And I must admit for myself, I've never felt that kind of call. Now, it's not that God doesn't do that, and Dave last week was kind of saying about some biblical characters as well as himself feeling that sense of calling, but probably I never felt strongly enough that sense of God's call on my life to do something. Now, when there is a call like that, it's phenomenal and it's great and it's wonderful, and maybe like Dave said last week, those kind of people we get behind. But I don't think that's an excuse to say that we're not called. Because the reality is, although I don't feel I've heard God's voice calling me, I am a called person. Actually, you are called people. And it may be you never hear a strong, dramatic voice. It may be you never get some kind of vision. It may be that you never think, I'm going to be like a Paul or a Esther or a Mary or a Daniel or a David that we read about in the Bible. But each one of us, when we come to find a new life in Jesus, when we choose to follow him with our lives, we become people who are called. And I just want to unpack just the how-to of what does it mean to live up to that calling? What does it mean to live a life that is called? And I'm just going to read a few verses from the Bible, because this gives us a little kind of indication of what it means for each one of us. When we've taken that step of following Jesus, we are called people. It says this. This is Paul talking, and he says this. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Over the summertime, I was just reading through some of the epistles, and it says, Paul says to Timothy, commit yourself to the public reading of Scripture. So actually, I'm going to read that again, because there's something wonderful about these verses. Can we read that again? So here we go. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you, dear Metro people, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. When you trust Jesus, you've received a calling. Live a life worthy of that calling. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient and bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. As I look back over my life, I would say, have I ever felt called? Well, as I look back, I think the choice I've made to say, God, in the way that you've touched my life each day, I want to spend with you and for you. And in some ways, I feel called in being a follower of Jesus. It's each day, it's with you and for you. And as you live each day with God and for God, you can look back and you think, do you know what? God's done some amazing things. I've seen God do amazing things in people's lives. I've seen God do things and transform lives and change circumstances and situations. And in some ways, as I look back now, and I've been in Bristol for the best part of 30 years, maybe I kind of feel, maybe I was called to Bristol. I didn't feel it at the time, but as day by day, choice by choice, I say, do you know what? The call of God on my life is to hear him, to know him, and to obey him. It's a life that genuinely is called, genuinely does make a difference. And I just want to say for each one of us, I think, as that those verses said, you were called. Now, you may be here as a guest this evening, as a visitor. You may be looking on from the outside, and this kind of may not make a lot of sense to you. But there's something about living in this world when we choose Jesus the inside of us turns around, turns upside down, inside out. Actually, we start a brand new kind of life. And that new kind of life isn't just about us and what we can get out of life and get out of Christianity and get out of God and get out of the community that the church is. Actually, we find that in receiving God's love and hope, we're people we're called to make a difference. We're called to live a life that's genuinely, wholeheartedly for God. We're called to live in this world that can appear at times fairly dark, and we're called to live as people of the light. And as I choose to say, each day, each choice, it's for you, God. I find there's a few things here that I just wanted to share with you that I'm called to make those choices. The first thing I think we're called to is this. We're called to be with Jesus. We're called to be with him. Here's what it says about Jesus when he chose his kind of first followers. It said, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. If you know the story of the Gospels, these are kind of the 12 apostles. And Jesus called them. And those 12, were, apart from Judas, were going to be the ones that kind of set this whole kind of ball rolling of the church and the early Christian faith that spread like wildfire through the Mediterranean. But the first thing that they were called to, before they were called to change the world, they were called to be with Jesus. What do I feel called to? Actually, there's something just inside of me that I'm called not to a religion, not to observing rules and regulations, not to a kind of a harsh lifestyle and a regime that kind of is a bit monastic. I'm called to be with Jesus. And that's the first thing that I think we're all called to. We're all called to be with Jesus. Christianity isn't a rules and regulations. It is a relationship. The whole thing about God is God wants to be known. He wants you to know him. In fact, he was so desperate to be known, he became a human being and lived in our world and took on flesh and blood and showed us what it was to be truly God and truly human. And he calls us to be with God. Not just obey God, not just to do God's stuff, but to be with him. And I wonder whether for some people here this evening, whether you know what it is to be with God. The God who is a relational God. Sometimes we think of God in terms of omnipresent, omniscient. We use all these kind of Greek theological words, which kind of somehow makes God other than us. And the truth is, God wants to be known. He wants to be known by you. He wants to love you. And he wants you to love him. And he wants to be with you. And the first thing I say about what does it mean to work out our calling? Working out calling is saying that you are with Jesus and Jesus is with you. The Alpha course that Philip mentioned was started in London by someone called Nicky Gumbel. And what I love about when he interviews people when they've become Christians and they have some of these dramatic stories and about what they were like before they became a Christian, how they met Jesus and what they're like. And after, as they get towards the end of the interviews, he always says this. He always says, and what difference has being with Jesus made in your life? And I think that's a great question. Because in the end, no matter what kind of community we find here and whatever love we find here, no matter how much we enjoy being part of Metro, the big question is, do you know Jesus? Does Jesus know you? We're called to be with him. And maybe if you say, actually, Tim, that just sounds a bit weird and a bit strange, but there's something about just being here that I would love to know Jesus and to be known by him. In a moment or two, as we finish and say a prayer, maybe even tonight for the first time, to sense what it's called, not just to follow a religion, but to be known by Jesus, to be with him. We might pray that in a minute or two. But the second thing is we're called to be a holy people. We're called to be a holy people. It says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 7. To all who are loved by God, called to be his holy people. So once we know what it is to be loved by God, to be with God, to enjoy that relationship with him, actually the second thing that I found in my life, as well as being loving Jesus and taking time to be loved by him, I know that I'm called then to make a difference in the world. I'm called to be different
to make a difference. Being different makes a difference. Now, I'm not sure what you think of that word holy, whether it sounds a little bit religious or whether it just sounds a bit like kind of goody-goody and just kind of too shiny to be true. But the reality is that we're called to live in God's world, God's way. Holy means set apart, means being distinctive. And being distinctive means that we're called to say, to when we follow him, when we know him, we're called to be in this world, living with regular jobs, studying, looking after families, whatever it is you do during the week that everyone else has to do. But somehow in doing that, we're called to be different. We're called to be set apart. We're called to be holy. And for me, that means two things. I suppose holiness is about how we make our choices, the choices around our lifestyle, the choices around how we use our language, the choices around some of those attitudes and motivations from the inside. I suppose holiness has got the imperative to be different. Holiness has got this idea of how do I deal with my tongue when sometimes my language is not particularly encouraging. Actually, it's not particularly pure. How do I deal with my thought life when my thought life is full of fantasies and full of jealousies and full of kind of all the stuff that actually isn't particularly good? How do I deal with a life that maybe is I'm living for material and career stuff rather than for God and for caring for those in need? And holiness is something that we're called to. We're called to say, how do I choose what is good? How do I choose what is right? How do I choose what is pure? I'm called to be holy. Now, I know for some of you, you might think, actually, I really struggle. I really struggle with my anger. I really struggle with my tongue. I really struggle with my fantasy, my thought life. I really struggle with kind of things that nobody sees when I'm in private. I really struggle with the whole that kind of stuff. I really struggle in the workplace to stand up for justice and for what's right and for what's true, and I just go along with the crowd. And I'm rather than being different from anybody, set apart, I'm just like everybody. In fact, they may not even know that I'm a Christian. And God says, well, when you know me, when you're known by me, we're called to be holy. Holiness is something that's not just the absence of sin, it's the real presence of God. You're called to carry with you the real presence of God. You're called to be somebody who in your workplace, where you're studying it in your course, you're called to be someone who's holy, who's not holier than thou and super spiritual and religious, but somehow you carry with you the presence, the well-being, the hope of who God is. That's a big ask, isn't it? A big ask to live a holy life. Because as I'm saying that, I'm sure if you're like me, on the inside you're thinking, I know that I fail. I know that I don't. I know that I let God down, which I think the third thing we're called to, I think it's just so amazing because it says this, we're called to live in the grace of Jesus. Paul goes on in Romans chapter 1 and says, I'm astonished that you've so quickly deserted the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different kind of gospel. You are called to live in the grace of God. Now, there's something about knowing that we're with Jesus, called to be with him, called to be holy, but there's something so amazing about being called to live in the grace of Jesus in our life. Because we do maybe endeavour to be holy, but time and time again we fail. Time and time again we slip up. Time and time again we make mistakes. Time and time again we think, I'm not sure if I'm ever going to break that habit. I'm not sure if I'm ever going to kind of be set free from that kind of thing. But the reality is whenever we mess up, whenever we make a mistake, God doesn't treat us as we deserve. I mean, there's three words, justice, mercy and grace. Justice is you get what you deserve. That's justice. Mercy is you don't get what you deserve. Grace is you get what you haven't earned. And there's something about grace that it's not about how good you are, how clever you are, how patient you are, how holy you are. There's something about we're called to the grace of God, to live under that grace. And I find that so amazing. Each time I make a mistake, each time I fail, God says, admit, if you confess that you've done things that are wrong, God is faithful and just. He will forgive you. He'll cleanse you up on the inside. Actually, you can be as clean and white as snow on the inside again because God is gracious. He doesn't hold you to account for those things. Though if we admit our failings, we're called to live a life of grace. And sometimes people look at Christians and they think we're anything but gracious. We're judgmental and we're harsh and we've got really kind of strident opinions. But there's something about we're called to people who both experience the grace of God and His forgiveness, but actually we express that grace to other people. And I wonder whether this evening some people just need to know. You feel you're called to be a good Christian and to be holy. And you just need to know as you're called to live under the grace of God. God giving you things that you don't deserve, you've not earned, because He loves you and cares for you. I think there's something that goes on here to say that in those times where we feel we fail and we know God's grace, the question is, will we ever get free? Will we ever break totally free from those things? And I think the next thing here is, I said, I think we're called to be free. We're called to be free. You, brothers and sisters, were called to be free. And there's something about living lives that are free. God always wanted you to live free. And what happens is we get ourselves tied in knots sometimes. And actually we live lives that, I don't know, sometimes it gets to the extreme of addictions, where those cravings for alcohol or for drugs, or just that next kind of hit on the gambling website, or there's something that you just know is some kind of an addiction, and you might be here and you might kind of chat and have a smile on your face, but you know on the inside you're held by something. You're held by an addiction. For some of you, maybe you're held by a habit. Just a persistent habit, and you wish you could kind of, you wish you weren't so bitter, or you wish you weren't so jealous. You wish you kind of, weren't spiteful to other people just to make yourself feel better. But somehow it's a habit, and it's got a hold of you. And somehow the cycle goes round and round and round. But we're called to live a life that's free. And Jesus can bring you freedom. He wants you to live free, and He wants you to bring that freedom to other people. A few Sundays ago, I was down at Woodlands Church, and while the kind of worship songs were going on, occasionally I'll say to God, "God, is there anybody or anything you want to be doing this evening?" And frequently when I ask that question, God will drop something into my imagination or to my mind. And as I asked that question a few weeks ago, just this little image came into my mind. And it was an image of somebody walking down a city street at night time. And as they were walking down this street, there were little dark alleyways off the street. And as this poor person was walking down, they were just so fearful and scared about those dark alleyways, that something was in there was going to get them. And I just said, maybe there's somebody who you feel like that, and God wants to bring you freedom. And after the service, this young woman came to me and said, I think that's me. She said, ever since I was a young girl, probably kind of 6 out of 7 nights in the week, I'll wake up in the night. And I wake up in the night and I'm there in my bedroom. And I just feel there's something in the dark. And it totally scares me. And it takes me a long while to get back to sleep because I fear this thing, whatever it is. And so I said, well, I believe God wants to set you free. And I just prayed a very simple little prayer for her. Nothing dramatic happened, and I just said amen, and I said God bless you, kind of. And the following Sunday she came up to me before the service started and she said, Tim, you'll never guess what, I've had 7 nights now and I've slept through the night, I've not woken once and I've not felt the fear. God set her free. I saw her last Sunday night, and I said, is it still the same? And she said, well, I did wake up one night, and I kind of felt that it was that fear was going to be there, and I just said, no, in the name of Jesus, and it went, and I went back to sleep again. And there's something about God's freedom. He's calling you to live a life that's free. Now, how do we get that freedom? Well, some of it is around choosing. When we choose to follow God, we choose freedom, we choose to find him, we choose to kind of study the things that he says and to live the kind of way he intended, and the truth that Jesus brings will set you free. But sometimes you do need a friend alongside you or someone alongside you to pray for you, and we're going to do that in a moment or two. Take a chance to at the back there to pray. And if this evening you know that you're called to be free, but you know you're not free, whether it's an addiction or a habit or a fear, kind of tonight, God can set you free. Just two last things I wanted to say before we finish. And the next one that we're called to peace. We're called to peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. You are called to peace. The kind of life when I feel, God, what have you called me to? You've called me to live a life that's peaceful. Now, the reality is we live in a highly stressed Western society where mental health challenges and stress and depression are kind of at all-time high. And amazed going to a place like Swaziland where there's kind of 40% AIDS, where there's kind of all kinds of poverty. But do you know what? They don't get stressed. And you think, how do they manage to live free? And we somehow in the West were so absorbed and somehow anxiety and fretting that cripples us. And God's saying, do you know what? I've called you to free. The kind of life I'm calling you to is a life that is a life of peace. I'm calling you to peace. And the amazing thing is, peace isn't just kind of mindfulness of I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling concerned, I'm feeling worried, I'll colour in this little page and I'll feel peaceful. Well, for a moment you might find a bit of rest, or I'll get distracted, or I'll kind of go on social media and I'll just kind of blank the anxiety out. But it comes back. But finding Jesus is finding peace. Jesus says this. He says, I've come to give you peace that passes understanding. Now, sometimes you can find peace by thinking things out. I'm married, and my wife is a great warrior. In fact, she thinks that if she went into the kind of Olympics, she'd come a plucky fourth, kind of as most British people do. She thinks she's great at worrying. And so one of the kind of things that we do to handle worry is kind of think about the worst thing that could possibly happen. Kind of, so she thinks, okay, what could happen? Well, I'm worrying at the moment because our son isn't doing his homework. If he doesn't do his homework, kind of he's not going to get his exam results. If he doesn't get his exam results, kind of he's not going to go to college. If he doesn't go to college, he's not going to get a job. If he doesn't get a job, he's going to turn to crime. If he turns to crime, he's going to end up in prison. And her anxiety kind of works that kind of way. And so, well, okay, let's kind of be reasonable about it. And you can just kind of reason things, and you can understand why you don't need to worry. He's only 7 years old. It's just a spelling test, kind of. Now, you can kind of work things through and try and understand things. And just managing things through understanding is fine. But Jesus says he's going to give you a peace that passes understanding. And it's peace that passes the rational understanding of, well, Tim, you don't know my fears or my anxiety. You don't know the things that I'm facing at the moment. And I don't. And maybe I can't help you to process all those things. But I know that God's calling you to live a life where peace passes your understanding. Where peace is something that can, even in the most tragic and most hostile circumstances, that somehow there's a peace. I'm called to live a life of peace. And maybe tonight, as I pray in a moment, maybe some of you are fretful and you're anxious. Maybe there's something very specific. Maybe there's a financial situation you're facing at the moment and you're quite sure how it's going to work out. Maybe there's something in a relationship you're in that you just kind of, you've got a hunch it needs to finish and you're just anxious about how it's going to work and you've got no peace about it. And just in a moment, I'm going to pray, God, would you bring your peace that passes understanding? Because you're called not to live an anxious, fretful life. You're called to live a peaceful life. Just the last thing is, what do I feel called to? I feel called to know Jesus, to be holy. I'm called to experience his grace. I know what it is to be called to live with peace and freedom. But I know that I'm called to kingdom activity. I know that I'm called not just to enjoy my Christian faith for myself. I'm called to make a difference in the world. That's why Jesus called some followers to himself, because he wanted them to take part in his great mission to see the world transformed. It says this: Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and illness. He called his disciples so they would go out and see these dramatic supernatural things happen to change the world in which we live. And I know that I'm called to do that. And I believe each one of you is called to change your bit of the world, to change the world that you live in. And we can do that in all kinds of ways. We can do that by inviting somebody along to Alpha. You're called to work alongside Jesus, to see your friends come to know him, your work colleagues. Invite them to Alpha. You're called to a peace that changes the world, this sense of this biblical idea of shalom, which is rather than just an individual peace and quiet, peace of mind, it's a peace that transforms a broken and fragmented society. And as you care for the poor and the marginalized and the weak, that's kingdom activity. As you see what it is, when you know that, again, for myself, I don't feel like I've ever been called, but I know what it is to make my choices to take part in God's kingdom activities. And when you do that, you'll be amazed at what God can do, because God is supernatural. I did a physics degree, and I love the physical world. I love order. I love the rules and the laws and the kind of... I just love the world. But I know that this world is just a frail imitation of the real supernatural world. It shows us a bit about it. And there's times where I know God's called me not just to be involved in what I see, but he's called me to be involved in the supernatural. And when we see that and the breakthrough it brings, I mean, this Tuesday, I had a text from somebody in our church, and they said, Tim, I've got a crisis of faith, got so many questions, kind of, she'd been on this kind of a trip to Africa and seen all kinds of poverty, come back, I need to talk to somebody, I've got so many questions. So I popped around to see them, and sure enough, I was there for about an hour and a half, and all these questions about suffering, all these questions about where's God, all these questions about kind of... And I tried my jolly best to answer all these kind of questions and probably didn't get very far, and she kind of still had all these questions. And just about to go, the husband said to me, on Sunday we were at church and I felt maybe God gave me a little picture and I didn't know what it meant, and should I share it or should I not? And I said, well... When you're together, the Holy Spirit does work. He does speak to people. And said, as it said, sometimes that I feel God speaks to me and gives me things called words of knowledge. And just give it a go, because, if it goes wrong, what have you got to lose? And so in my mind, I thought, well, I'll just give an example of kind of the words of knowledge that I use. I'll just give an example of how something, you can say something and how it goes wrong. So I said, so if I was to say, for example, here, there's somebody in this room, those two people. There's somebody in this room, and they've got a piece of glass embedded in their right heel. If I was to say that, and nobody had that, then that's fine. The woman looks at me and says, I have. I've got a piece of glass embedded in my right heel. And I said, maybe that's God speaking to you. And she said, yes, it is. And I went home and just laughing all the way, because I thought, I mean, how ridiculous to think of imagining a piece of glass in someone's right heel. But sure enough, a week ago, she stepped on some glass and a piece of it was still embedded in her right heel. But you know what? Being involved in kingdom activity, I saw her again just yesterday. And she said, Tim, I've still got all my questions, but I know this. I'm loved by God and I'm known by God. I'm loved by God and I'm known by God. And that's a great thing to know. And for me, I think just being involved in kingdom activity, and God wants you to be involved. I'm going to finish there because I want to take a chance to pray and just see some of that happen. But just as we finish, we're called individually, and I feel that's how I've lived my life, called to live those things out. But you are called as Metro together to be, as it says here, we're called to be one body, and there is one body, one spirit. Just we're all called in one hope. Actually, it's not that at all, is it? It was the Peter one. Is there a 1 Peter one there? There's not a 1 Peter one. Okay, It was going to say 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse something or other, things that go on, yes. Anyway, it said this: you're called to be a royal priesthood and a holy nation. You are called out of darkness into his wonderful light. And I totally believe that God calls you together, Metro Church, to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. People who are called out of darkness. Why? Because you want to live for this world. Called to be those that are different, to make a difference. And that's my prayer as we pray. So I'm just going to finish, and I just want to give a chance. I believe that God is here, and you may know God, you may not know God. But I just want to take a chance to pray for a moment or two, because I think there's something about, for each one of us, we need to know that we may not have a big call, but each one of us is called to live a life that's with Jesus, to live a life that's holy, to live a life that's full of the grace of Jesus. You're called to live a life that's free and peaceful and kingdom-seeking. Let's pray. And just as we pray, I just want to give a little moment before we sing a worship song together. Because I believe that God wants to do something in our hearts and in our lives. And for some people here, it may be that you don't know Jesus. And tonight, it's like there's a little voice on the inside, and it's saying, it's like a calling you. There's something inside that's calling you, saying, there's something about living this Christian life. There's something about that maybe even this evening you want to say yes. Yes to Jesus. Jesus, if you're real, if you're there, if you know me and you love me, I want to love you. Maybe there's some of you that you feel you're caught in that addiction cycle, habits and persistent wrongdoing that you long to be free from. And tonight as I pray, bring that thing to God and say, God, I want to be free. Maybe for some of you there's those anxieties and those fears, and as I pray for peace, that God will bring you peace. And for some of you, you need to know what it is to be, you are God's people to change this world. You're called to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to bring light into the darkness. And if any of those things applies to you as I pray, why don't you just stand with me just now and I can pray. So if you'd like to know Jesus as a friend, if you'd like to know some peace in your life, if you'd like to know what it is to break that circular habits, if you'd like to know freedom from anxiety or freedom from any kind of darkness in your own life, if you want to know what it is to be equipped, called to serve God's purposes, to see God's kingdom come, why don't you stand as I pray? Particularly if there's a fear about that relationship that you think that you've got to finish, and you just need the peace of God to fill your heart now. Lord, you see our hearts, and we want to say we want to respond to the fact you're calling us. You're calling us to those that want to know Jesus. Jesus, make yourself known. Even now, I want to pray for freedom. Where there's people who are held by darkness, pray now in the name of Jesus, will you set them free? Where people need to know the peace that passes understanding, as they worship you now, Jesus, will you bring, just invade their hearts with a peace that kind of fills their minds, fills their hearts, guards them in the love of God? And I pray that you'd be equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit to serve him and serve his purposes. We're going to worship now and just give God a bit of space to do that. If you'd like someone to actually say a prayer with you, if you've stood there and you think, do you know what, I just need to vocalise something to somebody and pray, then do come over to the side there, we could pray for you. If you'd like some physical healing, particularly if you've got either a breathing problem, maybe you've got fluid on your right lung or a diaphragm that's kind of a bit dodgy, maybe there's somebody that's you've got something wrong with your right ear, maybe even now that it just feels slightly kind of warm, and you'd like God to heal you, do come up to the side there. We're going to worship him just as we kind of bring it close to our service and give God space to bring his kingdom, to bring his hope. to call us. Let's all stand together and worship.